Praise the Lord. Please be seated. God is good, isn't he? All the time. To God be the glory.
Let's open up with prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we do give you the glory. We give you the honor. And we give you the praise here this morning. And Lord, we thank you that we can come with joyful hearts and voices that can sing and minds that can listen to what you have to say to us this morning. And we pray, Lord, that as we worship this morning, we would do it in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, we thank you for everything that you have done for us, for the greatest gift you gave us in the Son of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And let's turn in our white sheet here to our praise and worship songs, and we're going to sing together.
Thank you. last time you were here. Here we go, the love of God.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond. Thank you.
have something special today before Pastor Stephen comes down to pray with you. My lovely friend Charlotte has asked if she could sing this morning, and I know that she sometimes gets nervous, so her cousin's going to come with her this morning, and together they're going to sing a favorite that Charlotte chose. And would you like to tell us what that song is, Charlotte?
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me. He does, doesn't he?
Bless them, Lord, and bless their teachers as they have their time together, for it's in His name we pray. Amen.
We'll ask our ushers if they'd come forward to collect our morning offerings. If you're a visitor this morning, please do not feel obligated. We're just happy that you're here worshiping with us. Heavenly Father, your word tells us if we are faithful in giving, that you will bless those that give. And Lord, we pray that you would use these gifts to be used in your church and throughout this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, beloved.
Good morning.
I don't know when I've ever been more glad to be in the house of God on a gorgeous day with friends to worship after a heartbreaker. How can we not talk about the elephant in the room? It's real. But we all know that we serve an eternal God. He's eternal. But it's nevertheless, for those involved, the players and the families, my expression to Bob was for whatever God's purpose was for them, not so much for me, or for the fans, really, but their lives are transitioned. So, it was wonderful. It lasted brief. It's just a brief time. We're here for only a brief moment. And we're going to read from God's Word today, which is eternal. And the scripture this morning in the Pew Bible is found on page 911. We're reading from Habakkuk chapter 3. There's only three chapters. 911. And we're looking at six verses in chapter 3. It's part of Habakkuk's prayer. Yes, but that's Zechariah. We're reading from Habakkuk.
Are we?
Yes, okay. Zechariah comes after Habakkuk. Okay, so the prophet Habakkuk, very little is known about him except he probably lived in Jerusalem. And it was around 600 BC. And he was trying to prepare the people for the invasion of the Babylonian army and warning them. And of course, we know that the Babylonians came in 586 and destroyed the temple, destroyed the city. And prior to this, a matter of just decades before, the Babylonians wiped out the Assyrian Empire, which 100 years prior destroyed the 10 northern tribes. So Habakkuk was trying to prepare them for what was to come, the violence and the destruction. And that's around 600 BC. So starting to read at verse 1, chapter 3, this prayer. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, a shigionoth, which is a musical term. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day, in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from the Mount Paran. Selah, which is pause. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. This is God's word. Praise be to his name.
Let's come to the Lord together. Let us pray. O Lord, we would cry out with the prophet this morning, will you not revive us in the midst of the years? We thank you, Lord, that in your grace and in your mercy, you have shown forth your love in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That when, Lord, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, you made us alive. You revived us. And by your grace, you have made us into the people of God, which you desire for us to be. And you're continuing that work within us. And we are so thankful this morning, Lord, for how you've loved us, how you've been patient with us, how you've bared with us in your long suffering towards us. Lord, truly you are a good and gracious and merciful God. And we praise you and thank you this morning for all that you are, for all that you continue to do, and for what you're going to continue to do among us. We thank you for this fellowship here, this body of believers in this place. We thank you for the witness and the testimony that you've called us to bear for you in this community. And we long, Lord, to see more fruit for our labor, that others too might enter into the joy and rest of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they too may taste and see that the Lord is good. Help us, Lord, continue to use us in marvelous ways for the advancement of your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to your voice, to your direction, to your will for us, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for our number, Lord, who are not well, some who are going through physical trials and times of testing. And we ask that you would minister to them, that, Lord, you would come alongside them wherever they are and give aid and strength and comfort, and that even your healing touch will be upon our folk, Lord, who are suffering through physical infirmities at this time. We pray for the Cabell family as they grieve loss of Donna, and as they prepare for the funeral this coming Friday, Lord, just be with the family at this time, and that you will minister to grieving hearts and come alongside in your way. We pray now, Lord, that as your word is opened, that you would grant unto me the liberty of the Spirit, so that you might enable me, Lord, to declare the things of which you've laid upon my heart. Help it to be done, Lord, in the liberty and the power of your Holy Spirit, so that, Lord, you will receive the honor and the glory which you so richly deserve. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. This is the last sermon on this series of revival. We've been looking at a number of subjects over the last several weeks, and I would like to conclude this series with this particular verse from Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2. Lord, I've heard of your fame or your speech. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, revive or repeat them in our day, in the midst of our days. Make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. So here in this chapter, in chapter 3, it is a profound prayer that stands at the heart of the prophet's journey from confusion to confidence. In chapters 1 and chapter 2 of the book, he moves from questioning God's ways to now worshiping him in awe. He's in awe of who God is, in spite of the pronouncements of judgment that are on the horizon to take place with Judah through Babylonian captivity. This verse is a bridge connecting the troubled questions that Habakkuk raised in the earlier chapters with his ultimate trust in God's wisdom and in his mercy. So the book of Habakkuk begins with this prophet's deep concern, and he was concerned about a number of things that were happening in his day. There was violence and there was injustice that he had witnessed among his own people. And Habakkuk saw sin and trouble everywhere. And from a personal perspective, he had even seen the violation of the courts of law. And so this distressed him so much that he cried out to God and he asked God why he didn't bring judgment and immediately correct things. You know, this is a narrative which really speaks about our day as well, because we could ask ourselves the same question. Why is it that we see and continue to see such injustice in our day? We see violence in our day. We see sin abounding in our day. And we may ask ourselves the same question as the prophet Habakkuk may have asked of the Lord. When, Lord, when will you come? And when will you rectify this world in which we find ourselves in and the situation that we are in? So he asks God why he seems silent in the face of evil. And God responds by revealing that he's about to use the Babylonians, an even more ruthless nation, as instruments of judgment. And this answer only deepens Habakkuk's confusion and distress. But by the time we come to chapter 3, Habakkuk now has shifted from complaint, he has shifted from questioning to prayer and to praise of God. He recalls God's mighty works in the past. He recognizes that God is both just and merciful. And so Habakkuk's lament is transformed, I'd say, into a hymn that echoes with faith, and it echoes with reverence for God, and it echoes with hope. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. And so he begins this prayer by the acknowledgement, acknowledging his understanding of God's greatness. Our God is great. We've been singing about it this morning. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Our God is a great God. He says, I've heard of your fame. No doubt the prophet remembers God's deliverance in the past, how he had rescued Israel from Egypt, how God had separated the Red Sea in order to bring his people across on dry land to the other side and then to bring it to a close over the Egyptian army. He no doubt had remembered how God had fed his people and ministered to them in the wilderness when there was absolutely nothing to sustain them except God and God alone. He no doubt had remembered the great victory that God had given to them and led them as they went into the promised land. And I think as God's people, these acts of remembrance are vital for us today. It's vital for us to remember and to look back on how God has worked in the past. We had our men's breakfast yesterday. We had a good turnout, about 12 of us. And we had testimony after testimony of those around the table who looked back at the past, reminded of how God has worked in the past, how good God is. It's wonderful for us to reflect on the past in that particular way. It's vital because moments of uncertainty come. And it may be that you are living through a moment of uncertainty right now. You don't know what's going to happen with you tomorrow. There could be some physical trial that you're going through. A number of things, and you have uncertainties and questionings. We live in our country right now, which lives in a whole host of uncertainty, from economic times to our government, to leadership, to world events, to trade, to tariffs, you name it. There's so much uncertainty in our day. Challenges in our time. And it's at that time when we are to recall again God's faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. To look again in history, not just in history in Scripture, but look in history in your own life and remember how good God has been and how he has worked. And when that happens, it reassures us of his presence and his power. He's with us. He continues along life's way with us. He says, I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. He's moved far beyond just mere knowledge, but he's moved to reverence. I stand in awe of your deeds. The prophet's response to God's works, it's not fear in the sense that we know fear, but this sense of the fear of the Lord, this awe of who God is, this respect, this deep respect and love for God, this wonder of who God is, because he recognizes both his holiness and his compassion. As the Lord's people, we're not only called to remember what God has done, but to let that remembrance inspire us as we worship him and as we trust him. Because that reverence and awe for God, it leads us to something. It leads us to humility. Humility, opening our hearts to the Lord, to his purposes and his timing, which is ever perfect and ever right. He says, repeat them in the midst of our days. Repeat them. In our time, make them known. This prayer is a hopeful prayer and an urgent prayer. Repeat them. Revive them in our day. Make them known. He longs for God to act with the same power and the same mercy as he did in the past. It's a prayer for revival. It's a prayer for renewal. It's a prayer that requests the mighty acts of God that they would be seen and witnessed again, not just merely in the stories of the past, but that they would experience those things even now in the midst of their years, that God would work again, that they would be living realities in the present. God transcends time. He's in the past and the present and the future. What God has done in the past, he is doing now and will continue to do. It's about his work, your work, not ours. The church here is not our work, it's God's work. And so what's needed is that God will come again and revive his work. It's not a work at the beginning. It's not a work at the end. But in the midst of the years. Sometimes we live in the past. Do you ever meet people, they're kind of just living in the past, all the glory days, the glory years, living in the past all the time. And then there's some people who are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You know, they're kind of just looking at the future all the time, but it's like, yeah, but you're living here and now, today, right? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. It's today. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Yesterday's already passed. Revive your work in the midst of the years. The beginning is the beginning of God's work in the redemption of Israel. That was the beginning. When God called Abraham out of the land of the Chaldeans, that was the beginning. The end is the salvation of Israel at the end of time, when they shall finally see their Messiah in Jesus Christ and come to him. But now they are in the midst of the years. It's in between the beginning and the end. The in-between time is the time in which the prophet lives. He lives between the time of chastisement of the Lord by Babylon and the necessary beginning of the redemption and the breaking of Babylon by the Lord. He's in between. But this is a prayer for those of us who are in the midst of their life. Right now, we are living in the midst of our years. You can look back and say, there's more years behind me than there are in front of me. You're in the midst of the years. I'm in the midst of the years. There's more behind me too. Just because I'm younger, I know there's more behind me too. I'm in the midst of the years now. In the midst of life. And the feeling may come that the first forces have disappeared and that the success of previous days, it's gone. It cannot be repeated in the past. It cannot happen again in the present. But God's at work. And what he has done in the past, he can do now in the midst of the years. He can make that known to us when we have forgotten it at times, because there are times when we have forgotten it, haven't we? We can look back and say, God was so good back at the beginning when I came to know Christ as my personal Savior. And then along the way, in the midst of the years, we can begin to forget that, how good God has been. He can do the same now as he has done previously. He can revive it in the midst of the years. And when we're struggling and we feel maybe even God's discipline or his chastisement upon us, we can be reminded of his mercy. So it is in this light that we too pray for revival. It begins within each of us. For God's Spirit to breathe afresh within us, within our church, within our nation. We ask him to reveal again his glory, to work in and through us as his people for the healing and the transformation of our world through Jesus Christ. We're called to be salt and light for him. But here's a wonderful portion as he wraps up this little prayer in verse 2. In wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. God's justice sometimes involves wrath. You say, well, that's not a very pleasurable thing to end the sermon on this morning, Pastor. You were talking about wrath. Oh, quite the contrary, I would say to you. Because in wrath, there is mercy. There is a righteous response to sin and rebellion. And he pleads in wrath, Lord, remember mercy. This, dear friends, is the heart of the gospel. In wrath, Lord, remember mercy. That's the heart of the gospel. When we face consequences for our actions, God in Christ exercised his wrath on his Son, and in turn, he remembered mercy towards his people. In wrath, there is mercy. He doesn't abandon us to his wrath. He doesn't abandon us to judgment. In the cross of Jesus Christ, we see the culmination of those events at the cross in him. The wrath of God extended and poured out judicially upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is mercy that is extended to us in Jesus. Both of these events are at the cross. God's mercy remains. He doesn't abandon us to despair. Are you despairing this morning? You could find yourself in different circumstances. I'm a terrible sinner. I've offended God in thought, word, and deed. I've done things under the sun that would shame even those who have done far worse, if I could say it. And yet, you can find mercy in Jesus Christ. It's all been paid for by him. You don't have to live in despair about the things of the past or even the things of the present. Christ has dealt with it at the cross for you, in me. In wrath, Lord, remember mercy. It's at the cross. Justice and mercy meet. And because of that, we have forgiveness. And we have new life. And we have eternal life in Christ. A new beginning, even in the midst of the years. And so Habakkuk's prayer points us forward. It's pointing forward to Christ. Forward to what we have in him. It's a hope, dear friends, that endures even in the darkest of times. You know, even in the darkest of times, it's when the light of the gospel shines the brightest. And God has told us to let our light so shine in this world for him. Remember his faithfulness. Recall his work in your life. Respond to him this morning afresh in awe of who he is. Allow his greatness to move you afresh from fear of the world, fear of the unknown, from fear to worship, from complaint to confidence. Pray for revival within your own life and within our church. And ask God to move and to powerfully move among us in our day to bring this revival and transformation here and in this community for Jesus Christ. And trust, friends, trust again afresh in his mercy. Rest in the assurance that you have in Jesus Christ, that what he has done for you at the cross, it will last, dear friends, for time and for eternity. Even when justice is necessary, God's mercy is always available through Jesus Christ. That's the hope of the gospel that we have in him. And see, it's more than just an ancient prayer this morning. It's an invitation, brothers and sisters, to trust God anew, to come to him again by grace through faith, to seek his mighty works in our time, to rest afresh in his unfailing love and his mercies, which are yea and amen, to rest in that unfailing mercy so that we might, like Habakkuk, move from a day of confusion that we may find ourselves in to worship, to awe, and to praise of God, to fear, from fear to faith, knowing that the Lord, who has acted in the past, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. As we prepare for the Lord's table, let's turn to number 410, and we'll sing verses 1 and 2, and we'll remember the Lord's death until he comes, and then at conclusion we'll sing verses 3 and 4. Number 410.